This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me again today for more of a variety of old-time radio. Play everything on this show and two of them, so it usually runs about 60 minutes. We're going to start this week with a South African series called The Creaking Door. This episode first aired October 19th, 1964. It's titled The Cards. Then we'll hear a quick Believe It or Not and When Will He Die? We'll finish off with Gunsmoke and Billy the Kid from April 26th, 1952.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers. The Creaking Door. The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door.
Good evening, friends of the Creaking Door. The creaking door is opening, so do come in. Mark you, it's no place to come if you want to live it up a little. As a matter of fact, it's rather a dead end.
In world class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders, and the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5s today.
Could be more harmless than a village fete run by the vicar for charity. The little tents and sideshows, the jumble sale, the village ladies all working hard to help the needy. What a pity our little fete may turn out to be a fete worse than death.
Jolly this year, Mrs. Matthews.
And the weather's been so kind. Vicar, we've been very lucky. Oh, do please have your fortune told before you leave us, won't you? Mrs. Heyman is telling the fortunes this year, and she's working so hard.
Well, you know, I've always been rather reserved about having fortunes told at our annual fest.
Oh, it's only in fun. Who could be more devout than Mrs. Heyman?
Oh, very well. As you say, it's all in a good cause.
Come on, ladies, have your fortune told. Cross the old gypsy's arm with silver.
Oh, afternoon, Vicar. It's going splendidly, isn't it?
You're all making it go splendidly, my dear Mrs. Heyman. I've come to have my fortune told, by the way.
Come in the tent, Vicar.
You know,
I couldn't get a crystal ball, so I substituted a pack of tarot cards. Oh, do sit down.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, you know the theory behind this kind of divination.
I don't know anything about it at all.
It's so old that the primitive African witch doctor uses the principle when he throws the bones. Yes, it's very ancient and very evil.
Oh, well, my dear vicar, this is one of those occasions on which out of great evil cometh great good, isn't it? Charity will benefit after all. Now, one spreads the cards out like this.
Oh, there's man's fate, the hanging man, suspended by his feet from a gibbet. The wheel of fortune. It's all symbolic, of course. There is the devil. And there is death. Very interesting to a student of comparative religion, of course.
Well, I don't understand anything about it. It's just a game.
A nasty game. Unless done in the name of charity, when we all understand the whole thing is merely a joke. The idea was the spirits, evil spirits, take possession of the diviner. In this case, you, Mrs. Hayden, and spell out the future through the cards. A ridiculous notion, of course.
Well, I've got a little book here that tells the combinations. Now, in the first place, you're unmarried.
Oh, everybody knows that I'm unmarried.
Oh, please, Vicar, let's try to preserve something of the atmosphere. There. You're going on a long voyage.
But everybody knows I'm visiting the mission stations in Tanzania.
You will meet a tall, blonde woman, a widow. No prospect of romance.
Oh, unlikely. Unlikely for me.
Oh, yes. There, you see, you're going to cross water, and there is the prospect of an inheritance. Oh. Fear death by fire. Fear that which flies in the air, but is not a bird. Fear the things of night, the bat, the wolf, the leopard. Speak only truth, or evil will strike you.
Oh, please, wake up, Mrs. Hayman. Wake up. Oh, mercy me. She seems to have fallen into some kind of trance.
The shuttle flies back and forth, and the thread is spun into the lives and deaths of men. Fear the flash of fire. Fear the high face of the sun at noon. Fear the agents of the dark. Fear the man with a skull's face.
My dear Mrs. Hayman, please. Oh, dear, I must get help. Help! Help! Extraordinary business, Mr. Matthews.
A sort of possession by spirits, eh?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that.
No, probably the spirits came out of a bottle.
So far as I know, the lady has never let a drop of spirituous liquor pass her lips.
Only joking, Vicar.
But it is most uncanny. Mrs. Hayman went into a trance of some kind. Excuse me, I'd better go to inquire if she's fully recovered. Are you feeling better now, Mrs. Hayman?
Oh, it was only the heat. I am sorry.
It must have been a most unpleasant experience. Tell me, can you remember exactly what occurred?
Well, I was telling your fortune, and I've simply passed out, that's all.
You seemed to go into some kind of trance. Do you remember what you said?
Oh, it was some nonsense I was making up.
You said, fear death by fire. Fear that which flies in the air, but is not a bird.
No.
Fear the things of night, the bat, the wolf, and the leopard. Speak only truth, or evil will strike you.
Oh, I'm sure I didn't.
Well, I can assure you that you did, Mrs. Hayman. I feel that something caused you to give me a warning. Something connected with those evil tarot cards. But what could the warning mean?
It all sounds most outlandish to me.
Fear death by fire. Well, that's plain enough. Fear that which flies in the air but is not a bird. Oh, why, that would be an aeroplane.
Of course. Your trip to Tanzania. You must cancel it at once.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Hayman, I can hardly see myself explaining to the bishop that I must take the warning of a pack of cards rather than the evidence of my senses. No, I shall travel as scheduled, and I'd be greatly obliged if you'd refrain from mentioning this matter to anyone, at least until I've arrived safely at my destination.
Oh, Vicar, do take care.
Of course. And I hope to see you at the mission meeting on Thursday. Then I shall outline the purposes of my visit.
But of course I shall be there. The whole village will.
Yes, I know. You're all very loyal to me.
further ado, I'm going to ask the Reverend John Simmons to tell us about his coming visit to Tanzania.
Well, you all know the story. Tom Shelby was born in this village. He was a wayward boy, but did splendidly in the war. Later, he became a prospector in darkest Africa, but he never forgot his home village.
Yeah, yeah.
After the famous diamond find by Dr. Williamson, Tom Shelby took a quick look at the Ubangi district and discovered the fabulous Shelby diamond pipe. He gave a tithe to the church, one-tenth of the profits of that fabulous mine, and he has named his bequest after this, his native village. It is the wish of the diocese that I go out and tour these mission stations and bring back to you a report of progress. I shall journey to London tomorrow by car and then from London Airport.
Sometimes.
Don't worry yourself, he'll show up.
But that's the plane for Tanzania, standing on the tarmac now. He's only got a few minutes.
Oh, well, let's ask them to wait for him.
I'm afraid they won't do that, May. He's got scarcely 5 minutes before she takes off. There's customs and immigration proceedings to go through.
Oh, it really is too bad of him. Where can he be?
I say, please, a moment. Where can I hire a car or something?
Car? Hire a car? Why, no, sir. I don't know.
My dear man, where is the next village?
Behind it, sir.
I mean, in front of me.
Oh, that I can't say. I be a stranger, you see, from Wemsbury Parver. That's 5 miles away.
Oh, it isn't any use, is it? I'm too late anyway. Hey, want to live?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's frightfully important. You see, I'm catching a plane this morning for...
Okay, jump in.
In that ridiculous old car.
Oh, his own must have broken down.
Well, whatever's happened is too late. And the plane's about to take off, I'm afraid.
Too cruel, it really is. Oh, the poor vicar.
Have I missed my aircraft?
Oh, you have. Never mind, there's another leaving tomorrow.
Look! Look at the plane! There's something wrong! She's crashing!
Class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders, and the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5s today.
Is the vicar merely very lucky? Or does he have powerful friends? Let's find out, shall we? Personally, I like playing with the tarot cards, but it isn't much fun from the fortune-telling point of view. Because, you see, my future is behind me.
Vicar, there's a gentleman from Scotland Yard to see you, Inspector Stone. He's with Mr. Matthews now in your study.
Yes, I shan't be a moment.
Oh, tell me, Mr. Matthews, did you go to see the vicar off at the airport?
Yes, Inspector, I did. I don't mind telling you how envious I was. I know East Africa, and I like it. The great Tom Shelby was my half-brother, you know. Well, that's luck. If the vicar had boarded that plane...
Yes, exactly. Do you know him well, sir?
Who, the vicar? Yes, fairly well. Why?
Can you keep something under your hat?
If I have to.
Well, that aircraft was sabotaged. Now, don't ask me how or why. There was a Tanzanian cabinet minister aboard. Perhaps they were after him. In any case, the only passenger who didn't quite make it was your vicar. But his baggage got aboard, didn't it?
But surely you can't mean that.
Can't I, sir? Why not? He must be a suspect, mustn't he?
Well, technically, I suppose.
But then there's no motive for him blowing up a plane full of people, is there? Unless he's mad.
It's quite unthinkable. I can tell you plenty of stories about him. I've seen the way he cries when he's seen a mouse caught in a trap. He wouldn't as much as shoot a partridge for his dinner. No, you're on the wrong track, I'm afraid, Inspector.
May, I'm going to lay out the tarot cards again.
Oh, you're mad. Haven't they caused enough trouble already?
You aren't thinking very clearly, my dear. The cards warned of the accident. It didn't cause it.
Fear the things of night. The wolf, the bat, and the leopard. Isn't that how it went?
Then there was a bit about telling the truth or evil coming. Yes, I might get another message.
Just let me look out of the window. We can see the vicar's house from here. Yes, the light is still on in the study.
Is the police car still outside?
Yes.
Oh, but they've been with him for hours and hours.
That poor man is plagued by the most awful misfortune.
Well, I think he was extremely lucky this morning. Don't you? With a little less than his luck, he'd be... where the other victims are.
Lay out the cards.
Very well. One touches them. I don't know why, but I've seen gypsies do it.
If you want to know, it's a sort of spell, a heathen ritual. They're horrible, aren't they?
I find them fascinating.
I can see that you're in accord with them somehow.
You know, May, I do feel that I am. I felt it from the first time I held them in my hand.
Harriet, where did you get them?
I bought them from an old gypsy woman. She told me they were true cards. Of course, I didn't believe her. Not then. She showed me how to use them.
I wouldn't have had the nerve to go down there alone.
Shh. Just a moment. Something's coming through. Read. Read me. Something like... Read me plain. The mud stinks and bubbles blue under the stream-hot sun. He who would win this has already lost. He who has lost has won.
Harriet. Ah!
Now, I want you to go over that bit again, Mr. Simmons.
Oh, dear, I'm dropping off to sleep.
You want the swine caught who blew up that aircraft, don't you?
Yes, yes, you know I do.
Then give me your cooperation. You came down the road towards 12 Trees Junction, and there something went wrong with your car. What went wrong, sir?
I know nothing about cars, Inspector. There was petrol in the tank. Little lights were burning on the dashboard. Oh, that's all I know. It just stopped.
But I always thought you knew quite a lot about cars. Used to do your own repairs when you was a lad.
Alas, I'm a lad no longer. You can't compare a car of those days with a modern box of tricks.
No, I suppose not, sir. Now, how did this car stop? Did it just cut out? Did it splatter or what?
Splattered, I think.
You think? Don't you know, sir?
No, I can't remember. I am far too tired.
Ah, let's come to the Tom Shelby estate. How long has Tom Shelby been dead?
6 weeks, that's all.
Do you know how much he left?
Oh, it must be a colossal amount.
With the mine's earning potential, $1,000 million wouldn't cover it.
What a lot of good one could do with that money.
Can you imagine a man who wanted to do good to the world so much that he'd sacrifice 100-odd people for it? The greatest good of the greatest number, as it were?
I can't imagine a man so monstrous. But I'm perfectly prepared to believe that he could exist.
Yeah. Do you know who is the beneficiary under the will?
Oh, I've no idea. And I refuse to answer any more of these silly questions. I don't care who benefits. Although I'm sure Tom will have left a tithe for the church.
So you don't know who's the beneficiary? Why, you are, Mr. Simmons. You are.
What is going on here?
It's Harriet. She was telling fortunes or something, and it happened again, and she screamed, and then she fainted.
Oh, silly fool. Hasn't she caused enough trouble with dabbling in this sort of thing? Oh, help me with her, will you? If she'd seen the sort of thing that happens in Africa when you meddle with this divination nonsense, she'd think twice about it. Oh, put her head down.
She just said something very strange.
How dare you chatter about this kind of evil filth? I'm going down to the village inn for an hour. And when I come back, I want that woman out of my house.
Very well, Ralph.
Well, Vicar, good night to you. I can let myself out.
No, I shall see you to your car. I feel like a breath of fresh air in any case.
Oh, as you wish, sir. You'll understand that it's my business to get to the bottom of this matter.
What a terrible business it is, too. My sympathies are with you, Inspector. Have no fear.
That's a fine night, sir.
Yes, yes. On a night like this, I can hardly believe there's such a thing as evil in the world. If only...
Get down, man.
There he goes. He's running off. It's as though a door had opened and released evil upon the world.
Oh, there's big money involved. And big money means big risk. And it's the beginning and the end of it. Now I'll get on to shortwave and have a call put out for that fella. An armed guard for you, sir. Night and day.
Good morning, Mrs. Heyman. Please come in.
I was told your servant hadn't arrived and that you'd no one to look after.
Not in the mundane sense, no. It seems there's someone looking after me, though, for I've escaped death twice in 24 hours.
I read the cards again last night.
Oh, I think that was rather foolish of you. However, I must admit they did warn us truly on the first occasion.
Yes, that which flies but is not a bird.
I rather think that refers to a bullet, not an aircraft. We still have the things of the night and the penalty for telling lies. However, I'm not too greatly worried.
The next warning makes no sense to me at all. I remember it very clearly, but it still makes no sense.
What was the warning?
A sort of garbled verse. The mud sticks and bubbles blue under the steam hot sun. He who would win this has already lost. He who has lost has won. What could that possibly mean?
Well, I don't think that's very difficult. Diamondiferous clay is often called blue ground. That must be the blue mud referred to.
And the hot sun? That's Africa.
One would suppose so. Now, he who would win has already lost. That's clear enough. The person who was trying to obtain possession is fated to disaster, while the man who is most disinterested has already gained possession.
But who are these people?
I only learned for the first time last night that old Tom Shelby left me his entire gigantic fortune.
Oh, then you're a rich man.
No. He who has lost has won. You see, Tom did that because I always befriended him. He did it because he knows I'm unmarried and will remain so, that I'm a man of extremely simple taste, that it therefore stands to reason that I shall use this money to advance what we both like to think of as the true and moral aims of life. My dear Mrs. Matthews, whatever is the matter?
Ralph is dead.
Oh, my dear, I'm very sorry for you.
You wouldn't be if you knew he tried to shoot you last night. That he caused the deaths of all those people.
I cannot judge him, May. The temptation was very great.
He told me the entire thing. He put the bomb in your luggage, then he tried to shoot you. I don't know what to say.
He must have been stark, raving mad.
He was Tom Shelby's half-brother. He believed he should have inherited the mine.
Oh, of course. Everything would have gone to him if the vicar had died before the will was probated.
Yes, I suppose it was something like that. But of course he was mad, too. In any case, it's all over for him. had an accident cleaning his shotgun.
Oh, my dear. At least that's better for him and for you.
Don't say that, Mrs. Heyman. There's no man so evil that he cannot contain a spark of supreme goodness. Now all is explained.
Except for one thing. The cards. How on earth did Harriet get messages from the tarot cards?
I have no theories, ladies. I have nothing to say.
They won't speak through me again. Before I came here, I threw them in the fire. And my heart was lighter to see them go.
That was very wise of you. There is always a price to be paid for magic. And the price is too high to pay.
Well, well, well. Poor Ralph Matthews' scheme collapsed like a pack of tarot cards. Would you like a pack? You can get them here, behind the creaking door.
Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5s today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders. And the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5s today.
This is your host back again. Just a reminder of our rendezvous next week. Where are we going? Through the creaking door? Of course.
The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes invite you to listen next Saturday at 9 o'clock when they will again present
The Creaking Door. Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
Peter Minuit, who bought Manhattan Island for all of $24, was fired by the Dutch for extravagance. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the man who knows precisely when he will die. The coronation of a newly elected Temne chief has a touch of the macabre to it. During the coronation, the Kamrabi, or chief counselor, conducts the chief to the beach, which is strewn with a variety of pebbles. The ruler, blindfolded, grabs as many pebbles as he can hold in one fist. The pebbles are carefully counted, and the ruler is allowed 1 year of life for each pebble he was able to grab. At the expiration of his allotted span, a new ruler is chosen, the old ruler poisoned. Believe it or not.
Around Dodge City, in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
Clay Richards.
Clay Richards.
Age 31.
31.
Height 6 feet. Eyes brown. Hair red.
Eyes brown, hair red. Hey, how'd you like me to print his picture on these notices? I got a woodcut. Let me show you. Ernie!
Yeah?
Fetch your marshal a copy of that front page. Interviewing Clay's wife yesterday, I noticed a tintype on the mantel, their wedding photograph. So, first thing you know, I snitched it.
It's very thoughtful.
Yeah, oh, I'll take it, Ernie.
Here.
And then I propped it up in front of me and carved me this woodcut. Ain't she prime? Ain't she just elegant?
Real elegant.
Good likeness, don't you think? Of course, he was 7 or 8 years younger with the tintype.
Yeah, it's a good likeness.
That's his hair short.
Doesn't show what makes a law-abiding man like him try to rob a bank. Doesn't look like a man who murdered an old cashier and a Chinese cook who just happened to be there. But it's a good likeness.
Yes, sir, it is. A picture like this sure dresses up the front page, don't it?
Yeah, it's a little masterpiece, Mr. Hightower. A notable contribution to the culture of Dodge City.
Well, thank you, Marshal. Does fetch the eye, don't it? I'm printing an extra 500 copies of the weekly, and I bet I sell them all. Too bad the cashier's shot went wild. If he'd managed to kill Clay or even wing him, why, I bet I could sell 1,000 extra copies.
We must be thankful for the blessings we do receive, Mr. Hightower.
Oh, I am, Marshal, I am. Why, just before it happened yesterday afternoon, I didn't know what I was going to fill my columns with, and then, like manna from heaven, 2 murders and a bank robbery.
Attempted bank robbery, Mr. Hightower. He turned and ran before he got his hands on so much as a dollar.
Yes.
Still, as you say, like manna.
Dillon,
I'm talking business. What is it, Chester?
Well, it can wait, I guess, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, print Clay's picture on those notices, Mr. Hightower. Now, where were we?
Eyes brown, hair red.
Oh, yes. Also known as Red, Bricktop, and Sorrel. Mm-hmm. He didn't answer to no other nicknames, did he?
No, that's what they called him.
All right, then in big letters, $400 reward. Dead or alive. And at the bottom, apply Matt Dillon, Marshal, Dodge City.
Mm-hmm.
Print 200 copies. How soon can I send Chester over for him?
This afternoon.
Good morning, Mr. Hightower. Chester.
Think those posters will do any good? Richards is probably over the line into Oklahoma or Colorado by now. That strawberry roan of his is the fastest in the county.
He has no money. He panicked and ran out of the bank before he got a penny. I think he'll try to get help from his wife or brother or a friend the first chance he has, maybe tonight. I say he's around here somewhere. I'm sorry I turned on you like that, Chester.
Why, that's all right, Mr. Dillon. Out all night with the posse, no sleep, man's bound to get touchy.
No, it's not that. It's the way people use a thing like this. The men riding posse last night, they enjoyed it as though they were hunting fox or possum. Hightower back there, he acts like it was a birthday treat, specially gotten up for him. Everybody finds a way to use it. What was it you wanted to tell me?
Hmm? Oh, I got a kid, a little boy, locked up in the cell. Uh-huh. Run away from home, back in Cottonwood. Ed Slade turned him over to me when he come through on the stagecoach just now. Kid about 12 years old.
Whose is he?
Widow woman, Miss Bonnie. She runs a boarding house in Cottonwood. Ed says kid's always running away a little while, I guess. He flagged Ed for a ride on the road halfway between there and here. Soon as Ed seen him stand there with his bundle on his shoulder, he knowed what he was up to. So he told the kid he'd help him and then turn him over to us when he got there.
All right, we'll send a telegram to the mother to come fetch him. Well, come on in, Chester, and shut the door.
Mr. Dillon?
You're letting in every horse fly in Kansas.
Mr. Dillon, I think you better cancel the order for them notices.
What?
The Dutchman's coming up the street. And he's leading a strawberry roan, and Clay Richards is draped across his back.
like a sack of wheat across the saddle. Last time I saw him, 2 days ago, he was standing at the bar laughing his head off. A sack of wheat across the saddle. And followed by half the saloon bums and loafers in town. All right, Chester, make him keep back.
All right, now stand back, you fellas. Come on now, back. Stand back.
Ziegler. How'd it happen, Ziegler?
My goat, my old billy goat, he pushes open the fence last night and runs away.
Forget your goat. What about Clay?
Guy, I tell you, this morning I go to look for a goat. I walk here, there. Near the river, I see Clay. He sits there. I say, hello, Clay. The gates.
Dirty Dutchman. You no good dog. Clay was your best friend. He helped you buy your farm, so you killed him.
All right, all of you. Keep back, everybody.
Clay? Me? No, no. My brother, he was like... We was in the war together. Peter, listen.
You killed him for the war.
Not so. I kill nobody. Not since Gettysburg. Clay is dead already when I find him. I don't even own a pistol.
Ziegler, inside, quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chester, give me a hand with Clay. All right, all of you. Listen up.
I will not tolerate a disturbance. You know me.
I got him, Chester. Take his leg. All right, kick the door shut.
Marshal, I don't kill Clay.
On this table, Chester. What'd you do with Clay's gun? His holster's empty.
Gun? Clay's? I ain't got it. I don't even own one.
Chester, see if it slipped out.
His holster was empty coming up the street. First thing I noticed. Maybe it's over on the...
Another customer? Why, that's three in less than a day. Oh, bountiful harvest. My fees this month will keep me in luxury. In luxury.
Doc, I want to have an inquest as soon as possible.
Well, as soon as I finish the autopsy. Shouldn't take long with the practice I've had this week, huh? No. Late afternoon all right with you? I'll take him up to my office right now. No, thank you, Chester. I can carry him all by myself here. You just open the door there like a good fella. Marshal, tell the city fathers I'd like to make a deal when the corpses are as famous as this one. Back in 53 in San Francisco, a fella I knew earned a fortune exhibiting the head of Joaquin Murrieta. Tell them if they'll let me keep the remains... I'll do the autopsies for nothing.
Shut the door, Chester. Ziegler, where is it you met Clay on the river?
By the fort. This side by the fort.
Ride out there, Chester, and see if you can find Clay's gun. Maybe he dropped it when he was shot.
I did not shoot Clay.
Sure.
I did not. I had no reason to. I did not.
Now, you listen to me. Maybe you think Dodge has got so big I don't know about everything that goes on here. Well, if you do, you're wrong. If you think I don't know about the bank having an overdue mortgage on your farm, you're wrong. $400 is reason enough for a struggling farmer like you.
No. I could not do such a thing. I am a human being.
To a peace officer, Ziegler, that's enough grounds for suspicion. But whether you did it or not, we'll be decided at your trial. In the meantime, you just stop yammering about it.
Trial? Me?
Even when I shoot somebody, I stand trial. If they find it's justifiable homicide, and they probably will, Clay being a wanted man, then they'll let you off. And if not...
Please, I am permitted to go now.
Go? Are you crazy?
I found this stock. I must look after it.
You sit right down. You want to be lynched? You're trying to get yourself murdered? Have you forgotten about Clay's brother, Adam?
Adam would not believe I shot him.
What difference does it make whether he believes it or not? His brother's been killed. Everybody's looking to him to do something about it, and he knows it. You want me to guess where he is right this minute? He's in one of them saloons lapping up courage to come in here and ask me to give you to him for a present. You want to know who's with him? Ever loafer, ever bum, ever slob in town. Slapping him on the back and telling him what a shame it is. Egging him on to kill you so that they can have some excitement and some fun. Well, maybe you deserve killing, but it's my job to uphold the law, and I'm not letting you out of here.
You might spend
your time trying to think up a better story. That is, if you intend to stay in this town. All right, now think back. Didn't Clay go for his gun before you shot him?
I tell you, I didn't. If I'm not under arrest, you have no right to keep me here. I got to look after my farm. I go.
All right, Chester, lock him up.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. Come on now, Ziegler.
Help me, senor. Help me, senor.
Step out, sonny. This cage is bespoke.
Who's in there, Chester?
That little old runaway from Cottonwood.
Oh. Yeah. Come over here, son. Come over here to me.
I know who you are.
You do, do you?
You bet. You're Matt Dillon.
I'm guilty.
I knowed you right off. You just pointed out to me one day back home. Feller says you was the fastest gun thrower in Kansas.
Wyatt Earp wouldn't be awful interested to hear that, I'm afraid.
Feller says you was faster than Old Earp. Faster than Wild Bill Hickok in Hayes City and Fat Masterson or any of them. How many fellas have you killed?
You don't keep score, son. It's something you try to forget.
Not me. Someday I'll be famous like you, and for every feller I kill, I'll put a notch on my gun. People will see those notches, and they'll know they better not try.
Why'd you run away from home, bub? Don't you know your mother's likely to worry about you?
Oh, she won't worry. She's too busy working. You ain't gonna make me go back, are you? You wouldn't do that, would you?
Well...
Because it wouldn't stop me for long. I'd only run away again.
Oh, where are you off to in such a sweat?
Oh, Texas, California, Mexico... Fella can accomplish things there, not like living in old Cottonwood. If you let me go, someday when I'm famous, you can tell people you helped get me started.
Well, that's a pretty strong inducement. I'll have to think about it for a while. And look, while I'm making up my mind, I want you to give me your word. The word of a man who'll be famous someday that he won't try to run away from me. Otherwise, I'll have to have... Chester, lock you up again.
Oh, I'll shake on that.
Good, good. Yeah, Chester, I want you to go look for Clay's gun.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
And on the way, stop off and send that telegram. You know?
Hmm? Oh, that telegram. Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Where's Ziegler? Right.
It's all right, Chester. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Where's that murdering dog? Oh, there you are, you...
Not a single step further, Adam.
I want him, Dillon. He murdered Clay, shot him down without giving him a chance.
How do you know?
Because Clay wouldn't have let anyone catch him off guard except a friend. A friend. And now, Dillon, give me that Dutchman.
Try to take him.
It's like that?
It's like that.
And it's true what the fellas say. You made a deal with the Dutchman to give him the reward and protect him if he'd kill Clay for you.
That was the deal, was it?
Yeah.
The fellas say why I'd make such a deal?
Dillon, it ain't no longer a secret around town that you and Francie warned each other. But Clay was in the way. You had him killed so you could get his wife. Do you deny it?
No. No. It'll serve as well as any other crazy story. It'll work you up.
You think you're safe behind that star, don't you? Well, Clay have friends, lots of them. I'm coming back with them friends, and we'll get the Dutchman and you and anyone else who tries to stop us.
All right, Adam. I'll be waiting.
Yeah. You wait.
Whew. I almost seen something pretty just then, didn't I, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, almost. About another... A pint of whiskey ought to do it.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first, many radio shows win high popularity with the prizes and cash they give away, but there's one show that's tops because the head man gives away as little as possible. What other radio program could it be but the Jack Benny Show? So be listening. And now, with William Conrad starred as Matt Dillon, here's the second act of Gunsmoke.
Son?
You say something, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, open that drawer in front of you there. You'll find a small bottle of oil in there. No, no, the one to the right. Yeah, that's it. Now, bring a little brush, too, huh?
Here it is.
Thanks, bub.
It's a right nice gun you have.
Yeah, it's not bad, but a little stiff, just a little stiff.
Don't it have a trigger? I never seen no gun without a trigger before.
Oh, you remove the trigger or tie it back against the guard. And all you have to do is thumb a hammer. Hey, like that. It's faster. Yeah, that's better now.
Remove the trigger. I remember that.
What in the world for?
Well, I remember everything you told me. About the Texas holster and the spring holster and the double roll and filing off the sight.
It's just me, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, any luck, Chester?
No, sir, not any. I went to the store first and asked Mr. Denton what kind of ammunition Clay Richard used to buy, and he told me Clay had a double-action 44. I scarred that riverbank a half mile each way from the ford, and not a sign of it.
Yeah.
I got that telegram off. You know who ought to be here pretty soon. Only 7-8 miles from...
Is that a fire in town?
Funeral services for Mr. Grinnell, the cashier.
So soon?
It's awful hot weather.
Yeah. Any of your guns need oiling, Chester?
I don't think so.
You sure? When Adam left, he said he'd be coming back with some friends.
I know. I stopped at the Olifaganti just now to rinse out my mouth. Adam was there talking mighty ugly and mighty big. He's got a sizable following.
Yeah. When do you think?
Any minute now, Mr. Dillon. Want me to take Bob out of here to one of the hotels, maybe?
I want to see
him. I think you'll be safer here, Chester, behind stone walls and dodging about the streets rubbernecking.
You keep your head down, sonny. You hear? There's a...
Matt, I've got to talk to you.
She ought to be in mourning. If she cared for Clay at all anymore, she ought to be in black.
Matt.
Oh, Lord, I find her more beautiful all the time.
Matt, have you heard what they're saying?
What are they saying, Francie?
That you and me, that you made Pete Ziegler kill him because of...
I'm sorry that got back to you, Francie.
It's all over Dodge. Adam almost strangled me before they dragged him off.
Francie, I didn't shoot Clay. Francie, I beg you, believe me. How is it...
Shut up, Ziegler.
Woman.
Shut up or I'll club you to death. Francie, it's just one of those crazy stories. They needed one and they made one up.
But, Matt, everyone believes it. On my way down here, people were pointing, whispering... Old women clucking their tongues at me. They believe it.
They'll forget it as soon as this is over. They'll remember that even if we once did go with each other, it was finished and done with even before the war ended, before you even met Clay.
No, they won't forget it. For the rest of my life, as long as I stay here...
Oh, hold it a minute, Francie. Yeah, Doc, what is it?
Oh, am I interrupting?
What is it, Doc?
Autopsy's finished. I examined his liver and lights as...
This is Mrs. Richards, Doc.
Oh, I beg your pardon, ma'am. I'm sure I meant no disrespect for the departed.
Well?
Well, Clay was shot all right, but from the nature of the wound and the coagulation of the blood, I'd say it happened sometime yesterday. I'd say the cashier's bullet didn't go wild after all.
How could a dead man gallop away?
Well, the wound wasn't what killed Clay. The ball hit the rib case and bounced off. .22 caliber it was. And what did kill him was the stab in the back. Right through the spine. Inflicted sometime this morning. Now, near as I can judge by a small blade, two or three inches long. It could have been a Barlow knife.
Thanks, Doc.
Please accept my condolences, Mr. Richard. You call the inquest anytime you're ready, Marshal.
Chester, close the door.
You see, I didn't do it. I didn't shoot him.
All right, then you stabbed him, maybe. You said you never carried a gun. Look, Francie, go home and... give matters a chance to simmer
Matt,
down.
Matt, I'm going to ask you for something.
Yeah?
Turn Pete Ziegler out into the street.
What? Francie, they're itching to get their hands on him.
Let him have him. It'll prove that story's a lie, that you didn't make a deal with him. Please, Matt, I have to live here. Tell me, I have to live here. Matt, don't look at me like that.
Go home, Francie. Go home or leave town or hang yourself or anything you like. Just go away.
Matt.
Away, right now.
I bought me a bottle at the Alafraganza, Mr. Dillon. Would you care for a drink?
No.
Guess the funeral's over.
There'll be others.
Funny. Now I miss that bell. Awful quiet, ain't it? It's just...
Just about on schedule. Are you ready, Chester?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
I'd use a shotgun if I were you. It's more effective when there's a mob to be dealt with.
Oh, yes, sir, I aim to.
Ziegler, and you too, son. If trouble starts, lie down flat on the floor and keep your head down all the time. Don't gawk to see what's happening. You understand me?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
All right.
Dillon! Dillon! Come on, Dillon!
Chester, I want you to stand here in the doorway after I go out, where you can cover the back door and me at the same time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
All right, Chester. Open the door.
It's my duty to warn all of you that you're in the breach of the peace. I've sworn to uphold the law. I've killed men in order to do it, and I'm prepared to do so again.
Give us a Dutchman, Dillon.
Men! I ask you to be sensible and to leave quietly. But if you refuse to listen to reason, if you insist upon being fools, if you've already decided to act like wolves instead of humans, then there's nothing I can say to make you change your minds.
A Dutchman.
All right, you want Peter Ziegler? Well, he's not more than 20 feet behind me, so come on and get him, any of you. One at a time or all at once. Come on. Which one of you wants to die first? You? You? You, Adam? Well, what do you say, Adam? You let him here. Don't let this star on my coat stop you. Come on. There, I'm not wearing it now. Well, come on, draw, Adam, draw.
You all right, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. Get his gun.
Man alive, I couldn't even see your hand move.
Marshal! Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell
me. Doc, you make one single funny remark and I'll knock you down. You just take him to your office and get to work.
Well, I never do mean to offend, Marshal. In my line of work, well, bodies, they're just so much lumber.
Make all the jokes about them you please, but not to me and not in my hearing. In my line of work, there's nothing humorous about death. Give him a hand, Chester.
No, I can handle the marshal. Thank you.
Thank you. Just the same.
Can you direct me to the marshal's office?
Yes, ma'am, right here. I'm Marshal Dillon.
Well, I left Cottonwood as soon as I got your telegram. I'm Miss Bonnie. Where's my boy?
Oh, we have him, ma'am, safe and sound. Here, let me help you down. Hitch that horse, Chester. Right this way, ma'am.
Oh, I'm so sorry he put you to all that trouble, Marshal. The truth of the matter is he's a wild one and no mistake. Takes after his father, one scrape after another.
He was no trouble at all. I enjoy children. I like to have them around. Bob, your ma's here. Son? Chester, where's the boy? Did you let him slip past you?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. He never got past me. Look, the back door's open.
He seen me and he hightailed it, the devil.
We'll round him up for you, ma'am. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't know why I bother hauling him back. If he's run away once, he's run away 1,000 times. This time he ran because I wouldn't buy him a gun. He wanted a real one. That boy's just gun crazy, I swear. I got him a nice Barlow knife instead.
Barlow knife?
I reckon it didn't signify, and off he runs.
Barlow knife?
The kid. Chester, find that kid.
Marshal, has he done something bad with it? I told him to use it careful. He promised he'd use it careful.
Never mind, Chester. He's got Clay's strawberry roan. We'd never catch up to him.
Oh, I try to bring him up right. I tell him to be good, but he don't listen. He just don't listen.
Now, calm yourself, ma'am. Just calm yourself.
Here's his little bundle, Mr. Dillon.
What? Yeah, give it to me. It's pretty heavy. Here, you're better at knots than I am. Open it, will you?
From the moment he was born, he's been nothing but tribulation to me.
Now, please, ma'am. What's he got in it, Chester?
Shirt, stockings, piece of sausage, and this.
44 double action.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. That's Clay's gun. Sonny didn't manage to keep it long, did he?
Well, if he wants a gun that bad, he's bound to get hold of another one somewhere, somehow. Chester, call Mr. Hightower over.
Hey! Hey, Mr. Hightower!
Hello.
Come on over. Mr. Dillon wants you.
Master, could I have at least a drink of water?
What? Oh, Ziegler, I forgot all about you. Chester, where are the keys?
Yeah, right there on the desk. Yeah.
There we are. It'll be safe for you to go home now.
I can go back by the farm.
Yeah, that's right. I'll send for you for the trial.
Well, Duncan should. Duncan should.
Watch where you're going, you dumb...
Excuse me, Peter.
Yes, Marshal.
Mr. Hightower, it appears that we can do business after all. Get some paper and a pencil. I want some notices printed.
Fire away.
Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
What's the boy's name?
Bonnie. William Bonney.
William Bonney.
William Bonney.
Age 12. Height about 5 feet. Hair light, eyes blue. Mm-hmm. I don't suppose he's known by any other name.
No. Everybody just called him Billy. Or the kid.
Also known as Billy. The kid.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Walter Newman, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Don Diamond, Parley Bear, Harry Bartell, and Howard McNair, with Richard Beals, Paul Dubov, Georgia Ellis, and Mary Lansing. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West. In Gunsmoke. Those longtime favorites, Amos and Andy, are rising to new heights in their CBS radio series on Sunday nights. Heard on most of these same stations, Amos and Andy find trouble as constantly as ever and make it just as funny and as human as they have for more than 20 years. Be sure to hear Amos and Andy this Sunday, won't you? Right after the Jack Benny Show. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, there's fast, funny quizzing on The Bob Hawke Show every Monday evening. This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back tomorrow with more from Case Closed, our detective series. And of course, another horror replay is on Wednesday as well. Visit RelicRadio.com for links to those shows and more of our podcasts and past episodes from them, and links to the forum, Shoutcast Stream, and everything else. You can email me at RelicRadio@gmail.com. You can follow the shows on Twitter at twitter.com/RelicRadio. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.